You know, as a pastor, you kind of work through your message a couple of times before you ever actually give it on a Sunday. And I've converted these chairs many times, but I've gone through this. But even this morning, as I'm watching video and hearing people share, I'm like, oh my goodness, I am tearing up and it's not even up there yet. So just making sure. Let me open in prayer and we're going to head into this for today. Father God, I thank you so much for all that's already going on here today. Father, I thank you for just Pam and Brian and Tracy Lynn. I thank you for Julie's team coming up to share. And Lord, I thank you for Nathan and for Dave Hogan and the message that Jerry and Helen Hogan sent for their son. Father, I know that today you are smiling down on what's taking place here as one of your sons and one of your daughters is being celebrated. But Lord, it's really about you. It's all about you and what you have done in their lives. Father, I want to pray as we continue on with this charge that's going to be coming, that Lord, Holy Spirit, you just be here moving amongst us. And Lord, though it might be directed at Dan and Julie, there's stuff in here for everybody. Lord, I would pray that you'd forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, please come and fill me up now. Lord Jesus, I want to pray against distractions today. Lord, that Dan and Julie and the rest of us, Lord, can focus in on what you may want to say to us today. And that you would be glorified here and continue to be glorified here in your servants. I ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, this morning I'm coming to give a charge to Julie and to Dan. And I just kind of prayed. I want to remind you the truth of what I'm going to say is not just for them, it's for all of us. And today you may not be in the role of a full-time pastor, but every one of us who has asked for and received forgiveness from Jesus, every one of us who has asked Jesus to be the Lord of our life and has been born again by the Holy Spirit, there is truth for you here today to take and live out. But today, there is this wonderful focus on what our Heavenly Father has done and has called Dan and Julie to as pastors and shepherds of this, our Bremley Alliance church family. And I know a day like today, it's wonderful for Dan and for Julie, but also it's hard because they are having a light shone on them, and I know both of them would rather talk about Jesus. Jesus. And yet today, this is a Jesus story, because it's what Jesus has done in both of you. As you have combined your lives and the kingdoms of your lives with him and his kingdom. Oh my goodness, this is happening already. Dan and Julie, you are both in Christ. And it's his strength, his wisdom, his wild and amazing love that has not only impacted your lives, but now spills out of you as you do kids ministry, as you lead worship teams here in this church, Dan. I mean, people come away from you guys, and they come away having gotten Jesus on them as he spills out of you, and who he has made the two of you to be. Dan and Julie, your lives point to Jesus. Julie, you are far more than a kid's pastor, and I'm not going to look at you, just so you know. You are a leader. You are a builder of people. Your heart for the lost and those far from God leaps out of you. Julie, you love without a net many, many, many times. You infect people with your enthusiasm and your passion for God. And Dan, you as our creative arts pastor, man, you're unique to this role, too, as well. The ministry you lead is very often public, but it's what you do apart from Sunday morning that aids what God is trying to do in this church. It's what you do apart from Sunday that helps God be glorified in so many different ways through your life in the ministry. The time that you build into youth and adults as you teach them about worship and its importance. That as we magnify Jesus, he draws people to himself. Add to the fact that you, Dan, you're not afraid of hard work, like pulling cables through roofs, you know, from picking up a wrench when something needs to be fixed. Okay, that's just not a creative arts pastor. You've never worn a scarf, as far as I know, as you work here. I think of what one of our chairmen of the board said in the past about you. He said, Dan sits at the feet of Jesus. And we need our worship pastor to sit at the feet of Jesus and then come and lead us on a Sunday morning. And both you, Julie, and you, Dan, have Jesus spilling out of you. Now today, I know you both would say Jesus is spilling out of all your amazing leaders that you serve with, and that Jesus is calling all of us to be set apart for him. And you'd be right. That's very true. And that is what the church of Jesus should be. But today, this focus is on the calling that Jesus has placed on your life, Julie, and your life, Dan. The passage we're going to look at today is 2 Timothy 4, 1-5. It is a powerful passage that the Apostle Paul gives to his young protege, Timothy, and it is a charge. Paul gives this charge, and he feels it, because there is a strong relationship that he shares with Timothy. And as I bring this, it also comes with the context of the strong friendship I have with the two of you. And that friendship is beyond just working together. Dan, I've known you for over 25 years. I mean, seriously, that's a long time. And on different parts of Canada's continent, you know, I've known you. And Julie, there is friendship. I mean, my goodness, Dave and Julie, Bonnie and I, we've camped together. There is no getting to know people better than camping. I think she threw rocks at my tent because I was snoring or something, you know? And I just want you to know that this is coming within the context of relationship. And I want to ask the two of you to rise. Please stand where you are. As I read this to you. And then I'm going to go into some depth about the passage. And just so you realize, when I was ordained, they called me up on stage. And I had to stand on stage in front of everybody for the entire message. I'm not doing that to you today because it's very awkward. What do you do with your hands for 25 minutes? But I want to give this charge to the two of you. Here it is. 2 Timothy 4, 1-5. Dan Hogan, Julie Crawford. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men and women will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Daniel Hogan, and you, Julie Crawford, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. You may be seated. You know, Paul goes on in this passage to say this, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul knows that his time on this side of eternity is drawing to a close, and he is feeling it. And this is one of the powerful reasons for this charge that we have before us. Now, I really hope that my time on this side of eternity is still far from being over, but I feel this for you both, that you might own this charge as your own. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. You know, as this charge comes, it does so in the presence of God and of Jesus. I mean, Paul invokes their names and gives this charge this supreme amount of weight. It is why it was important for you to stand as I read it to you. We know today that God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are here with us. But Paul reminds us that Jesus will be the one to judge all of us, that there is coming a time when that will take place, and that his kingdom will be established in all of its fullness. And it's with this sobering and encouraging thought that he brings this charge. And he says, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Okay, this verse, it is loaded with the richness of instruction and encouragement. Preach the word. Now, I know that both of you have been gifted in this area in your own unique way as God has created you. Julie, this has been a journey for you. I remember well conversations I had with you in the early days of me being here where you told me you were good with speaking to kids. And that was fine, but I was never to put you in front of adults. From her mouth to my ears. And then I saw you speak to kids and the parents that were there with them. And it was obvious to me you were spiritually gifted in communicating God's truth. I could see the Holy Spirit working in you and through you. Hence, my encouragement to develop the gifts that you have. And Dan, I knew from the time that you served as a volunteer youth staff out west, you were gifted in proclaiming God's word with passion for others to know Jesus and live in his resurrection power. That has been like Dan's tag for like ever. That as one comes and abandons themselves and giving all that they are to Jesus for all that he is. It was your heart. And it's been exciting to see you grow in your own spiritual formation as Jesus has shaped you. It was exciting, too, to see how you encouraged and even worked with Julie, helping her grow in preaching and proclaiming the scriptures. Paul goes on to say, be prepared in season and out of season. And this points to doing the hard work of ministry, not only when it is convenient and your efforts are so appreciated in season, but also when they're not, or when it becomes difficult to proclaim the truth out of season. You know, part of the preparedness is the study of God's word. And always seeking to better the skills that you have as communicators. And I would say that we live in a day and age where there are many who are dynamic and engaging preachers, but they say very little of the truth. Too many preachers miss the work that needs to be done on your knees in the closet. And where you get together with God and you wrestle with him in knowing what it is he wants you to preach. And that can be scary because there are times he tells you to bring hard truths that are difficult to hear, but you need to preach the word of God. And please hear me. There are many, many good authors out there. But let God be the one to influence you through the Holy Spirit and his word. Before you ever allow an author and what they think is right and good to be your source of inspiration. And if it does not match up with scripture, toss it aside, regardless of how popular it is. Paul tells Timothy, correct, rebuke, and encourage. You might as well say, get people mad at you. I don't think it's any secret that those first two on that list can at times bring trouble with them. I mean, who loves to be corrected? Who loves to be rebuked? I'll answer it for you. No one. Again, this is why that closet work on your knees with God is so important. It can help lessen the blow of the correction and even the rebuke that you will need to give at times as pastors. And I say lessen it because it's always a blow, especially in this world that we live in today, where taking responsibility for one's actions and the words we speak are so rare. And no one wants to be told the truth, do they? They don't want to be told the truth. But Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And as the two of you surrender to Jesus, as you continue to seek him in prayer, and you go to the scriptures, truth, his truth, in situations will become clear. I mean, both of you have gone through times in your own life of being corrected and even rebuked, as have I. And my experience with those times is they always seem to take place within relationship. Julie, Dan, I know how much you value the relationship you have with this church family. I know how much you value this family. And that will help you when those times come that you need to correct and you need to rebuke. This, I can promise you, will need to be done. And always know, as the correcting and the rebuking time comes, it does so with a generous portion of encouragement. And I kind of think you guys have that encouragement side down, because I know your hearts. Now, this may surprise some of you, but Dan and I have had some pretty good disagreements over the 25 years we've known one another. And not once, and I want you to know this, not once was ever our friendship at risk. Not once. Was there tension? Oh yeah, you bet there was. And I can tell you this morning, that tension never lasted more than 24 to 36 hours. Why? Because it speaks to the maturity of our relationship with each other and with Jesus. Because both of us are in submission to Jesus. And God works in amazing ways, and God honoring friendships. Julie, Dan, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Right out of Romans 12:18. And I, as I said, I know you two both have this encouragement part down. But Paul adds, after correct, rebuke, and encourage, he says, with great patience and careful instruction. This is speaking to your attitude, making sure it is good and right, and to the wisdom of your words. Again, this comes out of the time that you're going to spend, you know, I keep calling it the closet work, where you get alone with God and you spend time with your Heavenly Father, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It is so important. Why is this so important? Well, Paul tells us, for the time will come when men and women will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. I think I can be so bold as to say, we're in that time now. People only want to hear what they want to hear. And should you bring truth contrary to what they want to hear, they may very well get upset at you and leave rather than let Jesus shape their lives through it. Dan, Julie, listen to me. Encourage them, love them, seek after them, do all that you can that they might see Jesus, but never, ever fudge on the truth of God's word. Don't do it. And it's painful. It is so very painful to watch people that you love and you care for and you have invested time into to turn away and walk away from Jesus because they want their own way. And often they are enticed by sin, and it's over-promising what they think they really want in that moment. Whether it be sex before marriage or adulterous relationships, often it can be money gained in dishonest ways, or they just don't want to be under anyone's authority, not their parents or their pastors or even God. They don't want anyone telling them what truth is because they want to make it up themselves. So they're going to find the people to tell them what they want to hear. They'll find the people to tell them that sin is okay. Everyone's doing it, so it's okay. There are even churches with people who are called pastors that will tell them God says it's okay. And they try to meet their desires in illegitimate ways, hurting themselves along the way. And one day, as they are living in the pain of that sin, reaping all that it has brought into their lives and feeling overwhelmed by it, they will remember that Dan Hogan always told them the truth, and that Julie Crawford loved them enough to say the things that were hard to hear. And God is always active. He is always active. And they will come back with sin having taken a toll on them, and they will find you too. They will find you too and this church a place of love and acceptance, not of the sin, but of them, where they are at in that moment on their spiritual journey. See, and I know that's the heart that the two of you have. I think that's the heart of this church. We're never going to condone sin. But my goodness, we're going to love people who are stuck in it and messed up by it. And we're going to tell them the truth gently yet firmly and care for them. But you, Daniel Hogan, and you, Julie Crawford, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministries. Ministry is often messy. Oh, we know that well, don't we? And our Lord will help you to stay even keeled constantly. And when the going gets tough, you hang on tighter to Jesus. You keep holding him up, and he will draw all people to himself. And you, Julie, you, Dan, be faithful in the areas of your ministry that Jesus has called you to. Now, I know that God's anointing is on both of you and will continue to be on both of you as you hold firmly to our Lord and Savior and the truth of his word. You are both ordained by God. And you both have come through this process of ordination of the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Canada and the Canadian Central District of the CMA here. And this morning, we, as your family, we want to affirm that in you. And I'd like to call the two of you up here. I'd like to call our staff team, our elders, Tracy Lynn, to come on up from our district, and Sue East, who has been Julie's coach, on-site coach. Because we want to pray for you both. This morning, we're going to lay hands on these two. I'm going to ask you all to stand. We're going to pray over them. We know already, don't we, that they are set apart by God for this ministry. This really is a symbolic act on our part to say we are affirming what we know to be God's truth already. Father God, Lord, I just want to pray for Dan and Julie as well. And Lord, I just lift them up to you. I pray, Lord, I just thank you for Sue and for Peter and what they have already prayed. God, I pray that you just continue to offer them your protection that you can bring. Lord, I pray that they will, in wisdom, continue to put on the full armor of God every day as they head into ministry. And Lord, that you would use them in such powerful and effective ways here in Brampton, here within this church family. God, I pray that as you work in and through them, that the hearts of this family would be open to the truth that you bring through your servants. And Lord, today I know that as we come and we are celebrating what you have done, Jesus, in their lives. And Lord, this is a Jesus story. This is a story of you as your life intersects Julie's and Dan's, and then out of that comes all that they are. God, we as their family, as their church family. Set them apart. We recognize what you've already done, and we are affirming it, that they are set apart for ministry. They are set apart as pastors. They are set apart as leaders here in this church and beyond. Because, Lord, I know that this gifting you have given the two of them cannot just be contained here, and that there are times we have to share them with others. But God, I thank you that we have for these past, with Julie, the past 13 years, and with Dan, the past 11 years, have been able to enjoy the two of them in the amazing ways. And God, I pray that for the next, well, I'm praying for decades, Lord, that they will continue to serve here. But God, that their gifting would bless not only this church, not only this congregation, but Lord, our district and the Christian Missionary Alliance in Canada. I thank you for the love that they have. And God, I pray that they will be catalysts here in this church, that we will continue to be bright lights for you, that as we magnify you, that as we speak of you, as we hold you up, Jesus, that you will draw all people to yourself. And God, we want to be a part of that. And I know they do. So God, I pray now, just bless them, protect their families, protect them, watch over them, and give them the wisdom they need as they continue on following after you, Jesus. Lord, they are truly set apart for you. May you be glorified in all they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Dan and Julie, this is from the elders, your staff, the church family. We wanted you guys to have something that you could always remember this day by. And so we had plaques written up that you guys will always remember this day, the day that you were ordained here as a part of this family and this church. And you two are both dearly loved. So Julie, this is for you. And Dan, that is for you. My friends, let me just say a quick word of prayer, and then I'm going to release everyone. Father God, thank you so much again for today. Thank you for all that's taken place here. Lord, I might be a miracle to try to bless cake to our bodies, but Lord, I pray you do that. And Lord, I pray that you will just, in the days ahead, allow the influence Dan and Julie has to grow. And Lord, I pray that we'll continue to be blessed by the wisdom that you have given to them, that they share with us. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for everyone who participated. Thank you for this family that is here with us celebrating two of your most amazing servants, Dan and Julie. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.